Vladimir's name. It's Vladimir Putin is wrong. He's Vladimir Putin, not Pew, but Poo. And then we have another Joe, Joseph McCarthy. Now, Stalin's purge was against those who opposed the control of the nation, the Soyuz Sovetsky Socialistic Republic, or the USSR. And those who opposed were purged. The nation was run by the Communist Party and by no one else. And don't you dare object to that, or you're liable to wind up, if you're lucky, in Siberia. And Joseph Stalin had lots of purges. So did Joseph McCarthy. Joe McCarthy, Senator McCarthy, wanted to purge the communists, out of the federal government. And there were some, and there were lots who were accused of being so, especially if they were in the way of someone else's path to power. So the purges of Joe Stalin and the purges of Joe McCarthy are history. So are the purges of Joseph Mengele and the concentration camps of the Third Reich are well known. And Joseph Mengele was a doctor who experimented on people, especially those who were in concentration camps. And then we have another, not Joe, John, but close enough, J. Edgar. He didn't use his first name. The J in J. Edgar Hoover actually stood for John, but might as well have been Joe. And he conducted his own purges against enemies of the state, as did Joe McCarthy and Joe Stalin, enemies of the establishment, and Mengele. And lest we forget, there's Joseph Goebbels, the Nazi propaganda master. I have here some excerpts from a speech given by one of the Joes, or one of the maximum leaders, remarks from the maximum leader in order to purge those who oppose the establishment. These are some excerpts. As I stand here tonight, our sacred beliefs and our establishment are under assault. We do ourselves no favor to pretend otherwise. So tonight I have come to this place where it all began to speak as plainly as I can to the nation about the threats we face, about the power we have in our hands to meet these threats, and about the incredible future that lies in front of us if only we choose it. We must never forget that we, the masters, the master race, are the true heirs to this nation. Too much of what's happening in our country today is not normal. And other, Thomas Paine, Paul Revere and their ilk, and other enemies of the state represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our establishment. Now, I want to be very clear, and at this point there was applause from the audience in the hall, very clear up front, not every inferior, not every majority of inferior and deplorables are enemies of the state. Not every inferior embraces their extreme ideology, but there is no question that the inferiors, the deplorable inferiors today, are dominated, driven, and intimidated by the likes of Thomas Paine, Sam Adams, Patrick Henry, and their ilk, and other enemies of the state, and that is the threat to this country. These are hard things, but I am the maximum leader, and I believe it is my duty to level with you, Joe went on, to tell the truth no matter how difficult, no matter how painful. And here, in my view, is what the true enemies of the state do not respect. Our establishment. They do not believe in the rule of law. They do not recognize the will of the master race. Enemies of the state are determined to take this country backwards. They promote freedom-loving leaders, and they fan the flames of such evil concepts as individual liberty or pursuit of happiness that are a threat to our establishment and a threat to the dominance of the master race. That's why respected progressives have called John Hancock, Thomas Jefferson and their ilk, and the extreme enemies of the state, quote, a clear and present danger to our establishment. But while the threat to our establishment is real, I want to say as clearly as we can, we are not powerless in the face of these threats. We are not bystanders in this ongoing attack on the master race. There are far more of us who reject these extreme enemies of the state, far more power at our hands, the hands of our establishment, than those inferiors and deplorables who oppose our rule. Massive applause at this point in the speech. And Joe continued, and folks, it is within our power, it's in our hands, yours and mine, to stop the assault on our sacred beliefs. That's the thing. Enemies of the state have made their choice. They embrace individual liberty. They promote freedom. They thrive on individuality. They live not in the light of our truth, but in the shadows of individual liberty. But together we can choose a different path. We can choose a better path forward to the future, a future of possibility, a future to build and dream and hope. I know this nation. I know you, our people. I know your courage. I know your hearts, and I know our history. This is a nation that honors our establishment. We do not reject it. This was interrupted by more applause. This is a nation that respects free and fair elections, as long as we can manipulate them and decide how many times to count each vote, or which ones to count at all, and stop the organizations like Congress from deciding which are valid and which are not. Let's take them all. This is a nation that believes in our establishment. We do not repudiate it. Applause again. We will honor the will of the master race. We do not deny it. More applause. And that's why tonight I'm asking our nation to come together, unite behind a single purpose of defending our establishment, regardless of your ideology. Massive applause at this point. He concludes thusly, we are all called by duty and conscience to confront enemies of the state who will put their own pursuit of power above all else. We must be stronger, more determined, and more committed to saving our establishment. We just need to remember who we are. We are the master race. Applause, and may God protect our establishment. And may God protect all those who stand watch over our establishment. God bless you all. Applause. Sieg Heil! Even more applause. Now, just to be clear, terminology and definitions of words, so that excerpting of a recent speech made from Independence Hall in Pennsylvania, there was a substitution of terms. We redefined the terms. One of the substitutions was using the term enemies of the state for the evil that was targeted, whether it's the communists, the anti-communists. No, in this case, it was MAGA. I was originally thinking of replacing MAGA with Jew, and that would have been closer to the way Goebbels would have written the speech. And it's worth considering that substitution. Substitute Jew for MAGA in the speech that Joe Biden gave in Philadelphia, and see how it resonates with what Joseph Goebbels would have written. But let's say enemies of the state is a more mild term and avoids distraction. Try both substitutions. Get a draft of the remarks from the maximum leader or the current president, and substitute enemies of the state, or Jew for MAGA. And he uses the word democracy. The etymology of democracy, demos is people, krasi is rule, people rule. But we are not a democracy. We are a republic with democratic process, a democracy for picking those who manipulate and control the limited powers of government. A democracy where the powers are unlimited is not a republic. Republic is res publica. It is a regime of the people. The People's Republic of China is not a republic at all, because it's an extreme democracy where the majority at one point picks a leader, and then after that we don't need no stinking elections, and the establishment comes into power, and everything is done to keep themselves in power. The way that President Biden used the word democracy was closer to the proper meaning of the establishment. He was not talking about we the people at all. He was talking about those who wield the power, the establishment, and condemning the anti-establishment and using the power of the state to purge enemies of the state. And similarly with terms like inferiors and master race. Look at the speech and see if the substitutions are valid or not. Words have meaning, and the definition of words affects thoughts and can be used to control thoughts, whether it's the word vaccine or various other words. Here's another word that is often misused and perverted, and a lot of tyranny comes from redefining words, words like inflation. Here's an article from LibertyUnbound.com. You can find it on air at Liberty Unbound. It's a very recent article by a former rocket engineer, Steve Murphy, and he calls it monkey business. Monkey business. The Federal Reserve System, the Fed, conducts the nation's monetary policy to promote the effective operation of the U.S. economy. Two of its key objectives, that is, the dual mandate, are to maximize employment and stabilize prices. Since the Fed influences overall financial conditions by adjusting the federal funds rate, another key objective is to moderate long-term interest rates. Before I go on with this Steve Murphy article, I should mention a caveat and also station ID. This is WUSB Stony Brook We broadcast on 90.1 FM as WUSB and on 107.3 FM as W297BM. And we're on the web at WUSB.FM, so you can find an archive of the past week's 24/7 broadcasting on the web at WUSB.FM. The station license holder for WUSB is the Board of Regents of the State of New York. We are grateful that we're hosted by the university, Stony Brook University, part of the State University of New York system, and we're on campus here in Stony Brook, have been for just over 45 years, and we're grateful to the administration of the college for that. And, of course, the station has its own management. It's an amalgam of faculty and staff, advisory and student control. That's the management of the station. But the caveat that I should insert is that opinions such as the opinion of Steve Murphy that you just heard, or the opinions of broadcasters such as myself, are property. And that property, those opinions, belong to the individuals voicing them. You're free to agree or disagree or copy or reproduce those opinions within copyright laws, and I don't think anything here is copyrighted. However, it is foolish, downright foolish, and sometimes deliberately misleading to assume that the opinion heard on WUSB or anywhere else is necessary the opinion of some inanimate object such as the station license holder, the station management, or the university administration. Opinions are properties. Groups don't have opinions, individuals do, regardless of how they vote. So all opinions heard on WUSB are the opinions of those voicing them or those being quoted in this case, as are the opinions that you just heard or opinions that you hear elsewhere, whether it's about politics or definitions of words such as vaccine. I'll continue with the Steve Murphy article in a few moments. Steve Murphy's article, Monkey Business, is the title. The reason for the title is not apparent a little bit into the article. But he begins by talking about the Federal Reserve System, the Fed, that conducts the nation's monetary policy. And a key objective is to moderate long-term interest rates. He goes on to say that critical to its success, the Fed must anticipate future economic forces, anticipate forces that could adversely affect the financial health of U.S. businesses and workers. Only then can corrective monetary policy be applied to keep the economy on the desired trajectory. For example, to achieve price stability, the Fed's stated goal is to keep our inflation at or near 2%. They have a terminology for that. Talking about definitions, the Fed calls 2% the target rate. When its economists predict that inflation will rise above 2%, the Fed springs into action by raising the federal funds rate to drive inflation back down to 2%. It's an unglamorous job. But make no mistake, the Fed is run by elites who must be just as smart as the elites who run other important organizations, such as the Centers for Disease and Control, or the Department of Defense, or the Department of Homeland Security. Wait a minute, you say. The inflation rate rose above 2% to 2.6% in March 2021. But the Fed did not increase the interest rate until March of 2022. And by that time, the inflation rate had increased to 8.5%. Such listless monetary policy execution cannot possibly be the workings of an intelligent individual. True. But consider the individuals who are responsible for the COVID lockdowns, or the Afghanistan withdrawal, or the legal immigration fiasco. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky, DOD Secretary Lloyd Austin, and DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, respectively. Compared to these elites, Fed Chairman, Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell is an agile genius compared to them. Nevertheless, Mr. Powell has painted himself into an extremely dangerous corner. Steve Murphy continues in an article entitled Monkey Business, an opinion piece on libertyunbound.com. All one word, libertyunbound.com. Monkey Business. Powell has painted himself into an extremely dangerous corner. He did not see inflation coming. During its rise from 1.4% when President Biden took office to 6.2% in October 2021, Powell characterized the increase as transitory. The following month, finally admitting that inflation was not subsiding, he said, quote, "It's probably a good time to retire that word, transitory, and try to explain more clearly what we mean," end quote. He also promised to, quote, "make sure that higher inflation does not become entrenched." But inflation continued its relentless rise to where, of late, it has become entrenched in the lofty neighborhood of 8.5 to 9.1%. When the new administration took office, it was 1.4%. It went to 6.2% in October 2021 and hasn't subsided significantly since. Now it's around 9. Now Powell is forced to raise interest rates high enough to drive inflation back down to 2% without thrusting the U.S. economy into recession. Note that the monetary policies that ended the inflation of the 1970s, which, because of the tax and spend policies of the 1970s, had reached 14% by 1980. Now, that inflation resulted in two recessions. Janet Yellen, was the former head of the Federal Reserve, Powell's predecessor. Steve Murphy continues and notes that opines that Janet Yellen, Powell's predecessor, is equally inept at economic forecasting. While serving as president and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco from 2004 to 2010, she was oblivious to the expanding housing bubble and the shenanigans of the too big to fail banks, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, to say nothing of the risk-inducing policies of Congress and the Fed itself. And those policies ultimately caused the financial collapse and the Great Recession that followed in 2008. Telling the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission, FCIC, she told the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission in 2010, quote, "I didn't see that any of that coming until it happened." I'm reminded of Nancy Pelosi's comment about the pass the bill. We'll never know what's in the bill till we pass it. "I didn't see any of that coming until it happened." As if to reward her incompetence, President Obama appointed Yellen as the Fed chairman in 2014. From there, she went on to become Biden's Treasury Secretary in 2021 and to not seeing high inflation coming at all. In October 2021, she, like Powell, told us that the 6.2 inflation was transitory. June 22, CNN appearance, she said she was, quote, was wrong then about the path that inflation would take, end quote, adding that at the time she, quote, did not fully understand, but we recognize that now. Yeah, that is, inflation had to explode to 8.3%, its highest level since 1980, before she recognized it. Turns out that Powell and Yellen are not the only elites who appear to have little ability predicting economic trends and whose efforts to promote the effect of arbitrage in the U.S. economy appear to be little more than tinkering, like a monkey tugging on the levers of a backhoe loader. Steve Murphy, in his article, Monkey Business, which you'll find on libertyunbound.com, quotes an article by a, let me see, where is his name, Wolfenberger. The article, John, J-O-N, Wolfenberger, in his article, the Fed cannot fix the economy, but it can break it. That's the title. And in that article, Wolfenberger shows that the Fed has a long history of routinely failing in its objectives, often causing more problems than it solves. Of Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan, Mr. Wolfenberger writes, he presided over the 1987 stock market crash and also the SNL, savings and loan crisis, the early 1990s recession, the late 1990s tech bubble, and the early 2000s recession, and the early to mid 2000s housing bubble. And Greenspan was called a maestro, not one hopes for his interest rate tinkering skills. In response to, this is from Wolfenberger, quote, and Greenspan was called not a maestro, not one who hopes for his interest rate tinkering skills. In response to the recession, he did not see coming. Greenspan slashed the federal funds rate from 6.5 in 2000 down to 1% in 2003, which helped fuel the housing bubble. He comments on Ben Bernanke, but I'll skip over that. And Steve Murphy continues, inflation occurs when there are too many dollars chasing too few goods. It can be reduced by shrinking money supply through increasing the interest rate. That's called monetary policy. Or decreasing government spending. That's called fiscal policy. Or increasing the supply of goods and services through decreasing taxes and regulations. That's also fiscal policy. Or both. The corner in which Powell now finds himself was, for the most part, caused by the policies invoked to combat the COVID-19 pandemic, which did the opposite in spades. It increased the supply of money and decreased the supply of goods. The two stimulus bills that were passed by Congress in 2020 and 2021 injected more than $5 trillion directly into the economy. In parallel with the spending frenzy, the COVID lockdowns drastically reduced. Drastically reduced the supply of goods and services by closing businesses and disrupting supply chains. The result, 9.1% inflation in 2022. Thank you. You're listening to WUSB 90.1 FM and W297 BM on 107.3 FM. And we're simulcast on the web at WUSB.FM. Also on the website at WUSB.FM is an archive of the past week's shows. We broadcast 24/7 here on WUSB. So go to the schedule on WUSB.FM, and you'll see little speaker icons. Click on any one of them, and you'll replay the hour. You'll play the hour you missed, or replay the hour that you want to hear again. It's about 3 o'clock, and I have a little time left, so I'll continue with a bit more of Steve Murphy's article entitled Monkey Business, not Monkey Pox, Monkey Business. He talks about the monkey business at the Federal Reserve System. And he had just mentioned the corner that Powell finds himself in and persistent inflation. But once it sank in that inflation, once it sank in, that inflation had become persistent, Democrat leaders began to propose measures to counter it. President Biden, for example, tried to reduce gas prices by depleting the Strategic Petroleum Reserve and is considering a gas tax holiday. That would temporarily suspend the 18% per gallon federal tax. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg suggests replacing your internal combustion engine vehicle with an electric vehicle, an EV. The resulting decrease in the demand for gasoline will reduce its price. Well, he doesn't mention where the energy would come from, but let's go on. The success of Buttigieg's plan depends on the number of people willing to buy an EV at an average price of around $66,000 instead of an internal combustion vehicle at an average price of about $48,000. Those who want to do this should do it soon. The inflation rate for EVs is 13.7%. Perhaps Mr. Biden should issue a climate change irony holiday. More recently, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer concocted and Biden signed into law a $739 billion plan that will increase the money supply through $433 billion in additional government spending, and also decrease the supply of goods and services due to taxes, additional taxes, and regulation increases. This, in other words, is a plan to increase inflation. According to a letter written by 230 objecting economists, the scheme would, quote, create immediate inflationary pressures by boosting demand, while the supply-side tax hikes would constrain supply by discouraging investment and draining the private sector of much-needed resources. With inflation now chronic and a recession looming, it looks as if the Fed's long-term history of failing to achieve its objectives will continue on. But elite economists are still smarter than monkeys. Confronted with soaring gasoline prices, only a monkey would propose switching to electric vehicles that the average Americans can't afford. Confronted with stagflation, only monkeys would come up with a $739 billion tax and spend extravaganza, and then call it the Inflation Reduction Act. As I mentioned earlier, opinions heard on WUSB, including Steve Murphy's opinions and mine and anyone else, are the opinions of the people voicing them. Not necessarily, it's fallacious to assume, they're the opinions of inanimate groups such as station management, license holders, university administrations, or whatever. Opinions are property, and they belong to the people voicing them, or to anyone else adopting them. Maybe I should apologize to monkeys, because some of the actions of people like Powell and Yellen, to describe these as the action of monkeys is probably insulting to real monkeys who are usually much more sensible than that. Let's try this.
Do
mi
so
do.
Sol, do, mi, do, fa, re, sol, sol. Mi, sol, la, re, fa, re, sol. Do, mi, do, fa, re, sol, sol, do. Do, mi, fa, si, re, si, mi. La, do, la, fa, re, sol, sol. Do, mi, do, fa, si, re, si, mi. La, do, la, fa, re, sol, sol, do.
Mi, sol, la, re, fa, re, sol.
That was a cut from, also from the Ernie Kovacs record collection. On the TV show, he had a bunch of actors in gorilla costumes, and they were playing on drums and so forth, and that was a bit inspired by the monkey-like antics of the likes of Joe Powell and Janet Yellen. But the title of that one was the Song of the Nairobi Trio, which was a Nairobi Trio was a staple on the old Ernie Kovacs TV show. A little bit more from the Steve Murphy article. Looks like we have a little bit more time available. He continues, let's see. Oh, yes. And this may be by design, the inflation or the non-reduction and increasing of inflation by all of these techniques. And this may be by design. The White House climate change cult is horrified by the CO2 emissions that would be produced by increased economic growth. Never mind the vehicles. Increased economic growth, more CO2. Well, maybe having fewer people breathe would reduce it. Who knows? But Steve Murphy continues, thus forcing the Fed to drive down inflation with high interest rates alone will reduce GDP growth, driving the economy into a hard landing of recession. Steve Murphy wrote a previous article called Recession as Policy, also available on libertyunbound.com. And in that article, as he says here, he noted that in the green fantasy world of the Biden administration, quote, GDP growth is the enemy of climate change, end quote. Recession is as important as windmills and solar panels, another quote. Later in the article, after talking about the usual knee-jerk reaction of some of these monkeys is to do more money printing, push the lever on the money press, the monkey lever. Congress no longer worries about balancing the budget. If tax revenues are not enough to pay for its grandiose projects, it can borrow the rest by issuing treasury bonds, massive debt that the Fed will purchase with alacrity. The three objectives that I listed at the beginning have been subsumed by two new objectives, bailing out big banks and bailing out profligate government. Of the former objective, Wolfenbarger wrote, "The Fed's real purpose is to enable banks to make loans by creating money out of thin air, and then to bail them out when the loans go bad." Of the later objective, the Fed's other main purpose is to help the U.S. government borrow. In stark contrast to its failure in achieving its traditional objectives, the Fed has succeeded in achieving its new objectives. Not only did it bail out the too-big-to-fail banks during the Great Recession, but during the COVID pandemic, it expanded its role, and probably its charter, by bailing out small and mid-sized businesses, large non-bank corporations, and fiscally irresponsible local governments. As to government borrowing, a World Bank study found that once a nation's debt-to-GDP ratio reaches 77%, its GDP growth is adversely affected. In particular, that each additional percentage point of debt above that level, 77%, reduced the annual real growth by 1.7% for each percent increase above that level. Thanks to the Fed's debt monetization operations, the U.S. debt-to-GDP ratio has more than tripled in the past 40 years. It is now over 120%. By creating new money whenever Congress extends its grasping hand, the Fed has been wildly successful at expanding and perpetuating government largesse, dangling money before the spendthrift politicians who are hungry for immediate popularity. That's a job that could actually be accomplished by monkeys. That's the end of Steve Murphy's article, but again, I think an apology is necessary to monkeys, because it's insulting to compare their capabilities and intelligence with some of the people we've been discussing. I'll also repeat again a couple of things. This is WUSB 90.1 FM, Stony Brook, and we're on the web at WUSB.FM. Don't forget there's an archive there where you can replay any hour during the past 24/7 week. And furthermore, that all opinions are property, and all opinions heard on WUSB or anywhere else are the opinions of those voicing them or the opinions of those who are being quoted. Since opinions are property, it's nonsensical to assume that an opinion heard on a radio station such as WUSB is necessarily the opinion of the license holder or the station management or the university administration, or the opinion of the politicians that increasingly provide some of the money for various things. This is WUSB Stony Brook.
And up next is Say What's Radio. Stay tuned. All right, you are listening to WSB 90.1 FM. I am your host, DJ MXW. We're going to get right into it. This first song, and we only play local music here, but we play mostly local music here. And this first song is by a local artist called Emmy McBee, and the song is called Sick Child. It was just released. Check it out.
Take antipsychotics to go to sleep, 'cause I feel like when I wake up I'm still in a dream. Would I know if I'm losing my mind? No one will want me to burden their life. The guy I date says I got a lot of baggage. I guess he's a contributing part of that. I should tell him to go fuck himself, but I always put in a box by my past. My sister makes more money, I'm on my parents' health insurance, and I'm still the kid recovering from childhood illness. So watching my body deteriorate was not an easy thing to take. I'll get depressed and some weight, though I'm better for a while, I'm still everyone's a child. I hate myself, but I'll try my best. I do yoga now 3 days a week. I can't tell if I'm clearer than I've ever been. Maybe I see the in life that I've been living, 'cause the second I feel good with where I'm at, I get put in a box by my past. My sister makes more money, I'm on my parents' health insurance, and I'm still the kid recovering from childhood illness. So watching my body deteriorate was not an easy thing to take. I get depressed and lose some weight, though I'm better for a while, I'm still everyone's a child.
All right, that was Emmy McBee, and that song was called Sick Child. And up next, we got another new one from Jack Monteleone. This song is called Don't Look, but you should listen. You should definitely.
The only thing I'm left with is, honey, don't look now.
Right, that song was called Don't Look, and it was by Jack Monteleone. And up next, we got another new one. I'm just throwing more new songs at you because I love you. This one's by Tie Dye, and this is a song about cheese. In fact, it's a cheese opera song. It's called Humage du Fromage. Check it out. It's by the band Tie Dye.
Tie-Dye presents Homage du Fromage, a cheese opera.
My bones like a spicy sharp cheddar.
I made in the sun.